We've been studying in John's Gospel some of the very wonderful signs or miracles recorded to prove to us that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, that believing we might have life through his name. This is said to be the reason why these signs are recorded according to the 20th chapter of John and verses 30 and 31. The last of these eight signs is given in John chapter 11. I'm sure you know the story of Lazarus being raised again from the dead. It was an actual incident and a very marvelous one. One of the three cases where a person was raised from the dead. This one, the most miraculous, seemingly, of all. Let's read the story briefly. We'll begin now at verse 34. The Lord Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God?" Then took they away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. The Lord Jesus, by this act, proved himself to be God. Human beings don't have power to restore life to a dead man. Oh, I know the doctors have done some wonderful things. When a person seems to be dead, they have quickly made an incision and massaged the heart and got it to beating again. But they would be the first to tell you that if that person was really dead, they would be powerless to do anything. And certainly, if he'd been dead for 4 days and corruption had already set in. Only God can restore life. Back in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, we read this in Leviticus 6 and 4, "He shall restore that which he took away." This was the law. If a man took something away, he had to restore it. But when we come to the 69th Psalm, a psalm that describes the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, although written 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus came to this world, we read this at verse 4 of the 69th Psalm, "Then I restored that which I took not away." The Lord Jesus certainly did not take away the honor of God. The Lord Jesus certainly did not cause the suffering and the sorrow and the shame in this world. We're told by one man sin entered into the world. That one man, of course, was Adam. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because that all have sinned. But the Lord Jesus hadn't sinned. The man who condemned him to die said, "I find no fault in this man." The thief who died beside him on the cross said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." And the soldier who executed him said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He himself said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He's called the holy, harmless, undefiled one, separate from sinners. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. Although he was truly man, he really partook of our humanity, though he never ceased to be God. As God manifest in the flesh, he was truly human, but he had no sin. He never did anything wrong. Then why should he die? Well, the scriptures tell us Christ died for our sins. Christ died for the ungodly. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Am I talking to someone today who does not have the life of God in your soul? You know, when God made Adam, he made him right. But he said that the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did he die? Oh, yes, indeed he died. His body didn't die, but he died in his spirit. The life of God was extinct. He died to God. And his descendants have all been born spiritually dead. That's why we need to be born again. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a good man, and a preacher among the Jews, he said to him, "Marvel not that I said unto you, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's necessary for us to be born again, and the new birth takes place in the Spirit. We receive the life of God. We receive eternal life. I was born into this world with human life, but that isn't enough to meet God in or to enter into heaven. So I need new life, and I received, as a gift from God, eternal life. The wages of sin is death. I earned those wages, didn't you? But I've met God before payday about my wages, and the Lord Jesus took my wages on the cross. So the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, and I've received the life of God as a gift. But I think maybe we need to apply this in another way. Let's think a little bit about Christians who need to be restored. Now, they do not need to be born again. He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." But it's possible for Christians to get pretty far away from the Lord. Even David said in the 23rd Psalm, "He restoreth my soul." And the verb there indicates that this is something that has to be repeated again and again and again. The prodigal son, though often picturing for us an unsaved person coming to God, may also be a picture. There are many applications, and we may use this as a picture of a believer coming back to his father. How far away can a Christian get? I don't know. But I know that he'll be a miserable piece until he gets back to God. Think of Naomi in the Old Testament, in the book of Ruth. She certainly was the prodigal daughter. Her name meant pleasant. But when she came back, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara." That means bitter. "For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me." Now, God doesn't deal bitterly with anyone. But when you get out of touch with the Lord, you find you have a very bitter life. The little baby of Ruth was said to be, to Naomi, a restorer of life, a new lease on life. What a happy soul she was when she got back to God. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we're told that if any one be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou be tempted. Now there is a sense in which only God can restore, whether this is an unbeliever coming to the Lord for the first time, or whether this is a Christian being restored to fellowship with the Lord. There is a sense in which only God can do it. But there is another sense in which we can be a help to each other. The Lord said to Peter, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And Peter was a great help to others after he got back to the Lord. What is your responsibility? Suppose now I'm talking to some Christian who's out of touch with the Lord. Well, 1 John 1 and 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not just asking for forgiveness. God expects you to specifically name to Him the things that you've done wrong. You ask Him to help you remember them. 1 Corinthians 11:31 tells us that we ought to judge ourselves. That's judging that evil nature that produced those sins. Then we ought to believe God. We ought to take Him at His word that things are right, that He is faithful and just, and that He has cleansed us. And then we ought to go on to try to help others, try to live for the Lord, spend time in reading and meditating on His word, and praying and witnessing to others. Oh, if you've been out of touch with the Lord, remember that the glory of God is that He is the great restorer. Only God can give eternal life. Only God can restore a Christian to fellowship with Himself. Won't you turn to Him? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we ask You to bless it to each one of us. Save the lost, we pray again, for the glory of the Lord Jesus, and restore and revive and help Thy dear people. In His own name we pray. Amen.